You know, when we get to heaven, what perspective will we have from heaven?
When we're actually there and we see Jesus and we see heaven and we see not just the angels and the glory of heaven and all that's happening there and loved ones that have gone on before us, but realizing in a greater way the fullness of our faith, how thankful will we be? I think it's going to be far greater than what we experience now, don't you? In fact, I think it's going to be inexhaustible. We think it is now. We can't thank God enough for our salvation. But in heaven, I don't think we're going to, I think it's going to be all eternity. We're going to be thanking him and praising him for what he has done and what he is going to continue to do in through our lives for all eternity. You know, we have new heavens and a new earth and all eternity forward yet. And God has a purpose and plan in all of that. And when that's a tangible reality to us, I just can't imagine the thankfulness and the praise that will happen at that time. So praise God for that. So, you know, this is Sunday before Thanksgiving, and the title of today's message is a giveaway title. But hopefully as I give it away that you'll see the substance of it at the end of the message. And that is thanks living. Thanks living instead of Thanksgiving, thanks living. Okay, that's a good one, see? And so I want us to just watch a little quick video, 1 minute video, on being thankful.
You know, I'm so thankful for my car. I love my car. Yep. And I'm thankful for Twinkies.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for TiVo. That changed my life. Yep. And I'm thankful that I don't live in a third world country. Yep. Thankful for my gym membership. I mean, look at me. Yep. What do you think?
I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, so I wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. That's about it.
What are we thankful for? I mean, really, that's a bottom line issue, right? Being thankful for that. But it's okay to be thankful for Twinkies. I mean, honestly. Honestly, I mean, God gave the know-how to make them, and there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, thank you for this Twinkie today. When Kathy and I were first married, we had an extremely tight budget, so much so that we used to pray, Lord, can we go down and get an ice cream cone from McDonald's? I think back then it's like 50 cents, maybe 25. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago. But we were thankful for that. So it's okay to be thankful in the little things as well as in the big things. We talked about that last week, about Thanksgiving, that every year it comes around and we think to ourselves, okay, what am I thankful for? And for the sake of being redundant, I'm just going to repeat a little bit of what happened last week. Was what we start thinking, okay, I'm thankful for my salvation. Praise God, we should be. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my car or my kids or all these different things. And we start to fall into a generic thing that we're thankful for. But the thing that's difficult is it shouldn't be a burden to us. It's Thanksgiving time that when we're asked, what are we thankful for? We have to think about it. You know what I mean? And to get into those general, generic answers as well. And they're all good things. They're good things to be thankful for. But there are more things to be thankful for. And so we looked at that a little bit more, that we're thankful for the things that God has done in our lives. If we want to get more specific, I think part of it's the social thing. I'm not going to get into all the specifics of why I'm so thankful. I'm thankful in general for all these things. But if someone asks you, what are you thankful for? Are they asking you to give a quick answer? Or are they asking you to give a heartfelt, deep explanation? And so we're thankful for the things that God has done in our lives. So we're thankful for those quick responses, which are good things to be thankful for. We're thankful for the things that we can identify God working in and through our lives, what God has done for us. We're thankful for our personal experiences with God. And so as we see God doing things in and through our lives for him, we're thankful for that. But there's one step above the experience of what God is doing through our lives or what he's done through our lives that we need to look at, and that is we're thankful for the relationship that we have with Christ. Now, let me just say that a little deeper. The one-on-one, personal, intimate, friendship, bond of love, relationship that we each have with Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for that. And when the focus is on Jesus, I'm thankful for him. It's not that I'm not thankful for these other things, but my top priority is I'm thankful for Jesus as being in my life and that I know him. And of course, he knows me and we have that relationship. And we can go back down the line. I'm thankful for what he's done in my life. I'm thankful for those experiences. I'm thankful for what he's given me. I'm thankful for all these things. But ultimately, it's Jesus that I'm thankful for in my life. Amen? Right? And so that's what we need to remember. We looked at that last week. But we're going to look a little bit further into that, as the title implies, Thanks Living. David, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, he says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Now we can agree with that. We can say these are things that are valuable to us, that we can agree with and concur with, that these are things in the type of heart and the attitude that we should have to be thankful. But how often do we come into church or into a room or we're shouting a joyful praise to God? Man, I praise God. He took care of that today. I was so worried about that. And he fill in the line, right? How often are we serving the Lord with a sense of gladness? I'm so glad to be able to serve God. Now, you might be saying, now what I'm doing, I'm glad I'm doing that. But what I'm experiencing here is Jesus right here with me, blessing me as I'm serving him in this capacity. What a blessing that is that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful also that in verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. There are those times when we're before God and God humbles us and we sense his power and his presence in a way that puts us in a very humble place before the Lord. And we're thankful to God for the fact that he's allowed us to come to know him. We are his people. We are sheep of his pasture. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So if we're going to shout praises about God, if we're going to sing joyfully, if we're going to enter the gates, meaning the temple, we're going to enter into church with a thankful heart, a glad heart, and we're going to bless his name, meaning we're going to give him credit that's due. It's a result of our personal experience with Jesus. It's not just that Lord, thank you for giving me the Twinkie that I was asking for today. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek sarcastically, right? But really, honestly, if you're broke and you don't get a treat, you might get a bag of Twinkies and go, man, thank you, right? If you're on the street, man, I've been really dying for one of those. Thank you, right? I mean, there's all sorts of perspectives that we can look at. But when we see God working with the small things, I like the Twinkie thing. When we see the small things that God does for us, not just the big things, but that he's intricately involved in your life and my life, where here's God Almighty on his throne in heaven with holding all that's been created in his hands, making sure everything is working the way it should be working, and he cares about whether I get a Twinkie when I ask him for one. It sounds silly, doesn't it? But it's really not, because you start to see the reality that God's care is so intricate in your life and my life, and we go, man, God cared about something so insignificant as that, but he knew I wanted it. Praise God for him. Now, what does that do to your heart and your spirit? I mean, if you were genuinely in that experience and you saw God care about the little things. I mean, have we experienced that before, where we see God take care of the little things we didn't expect him to? Yeah. And doesn't it make you feel like, God, you're my Father in heaven, but you're God Almighty and you're taking care of this? Wow, you're involved in my life. And what does that do in turn? That makes our heart kind of grow big for God. It's just like, wow, Father, thank you for loving me so much. that while you're on your throne, that you're involved in my life with such fine detail. And so as we experience what God does to us, like he provides for us, we experience what he does in our life, but we also experience him. When we do those things will give credence to you and I coming into his house or being around other people with a natural overflow of praising God. Thank you, God. I love God. People will see you loving God because we are acknowledging not only who he is, but how he is involved in our lives and how we are connected with him in the relationship and the experiences that we share. So thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. Okay? Thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. You got to get and read this note here. So we're not only to live our lives with a thankful heart, but we're to live our lives to reflect a thankful heart. And I wrote that note down and write out the message, and I usually write these notes as I review and review. And we're not only to live our lives with a thankful heart, that's something we understand, but we're to live our lives to reflect a thankful heart. You see the difference? Our lives should reflect our thankfulness to God. It should reflect our love for God. It should reflect our relationship with God. And so with that understanding, I want us to go and look at Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Let's stop right there for just a moment. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. It was a direct shot. He knew how to get there, obviously. But he bypassed the direct route and went off-road through Samaria. And Jews would ignore that region of the country because there were Samaritans were a mixed breed of people. And they were not respected or liked. And there was a contention between the Samaritans and the full-blooded Jewish people. And so he passed intentionally through Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. You know, I've got leprosy. Leprosy is not a pretty thing. Leprosy, your skin is falling off your body. Leprosy is gross. And leprosy is extremely contagious. And so they stayed far back. Interestingly, even though it was a region that wasn't entered in by Jewish people, typically, and Jesus had not been there yet, they knew who Jesus was, and they stood on the sideline, and they cried out to him, and they said, "Have mercy on us." They didn't have to explain what they were asking mercy for. It was obvious. We are lepers. We need you to have mercy on us. We've seen what you've done, or we've heard about what you've done. And because of that, we're begging you to have mercy on us. Have you ever seen people have that thought process? God, I'm crying out to you. If you do this, I'll do this for you. It's like an instant covenant with God. And then when they get the instant covenant taken care of, or not the covenant, but the God's fulfilled what you've asked him for, you forget about the promise that you've given God. And if you are familiar with this passage of Scripture, we know that that happened in here. In verse 12, it says, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed." I love that little statement. As they left, they were cleansed. Now, that's kind of like the person crying out and saying, "God, I need you to do this for me." God and how great he is and all powerful he is, but most importantly, in how much he loves each one of us, right? He died for every human being, whether they acknowledge him or not. He loved us first before we knew him. John 3:16, he loved the world and he gave his only son. So God loves us, and so those lepers are asking for healing, and many people cry out to God and ask for healing or some sort of divine protection, and even in an emergency will say, "I'll do this for you," and then oftentimes will walk away from what they promised God. But as these lepers left, they were healed on the way. God in his loving mercy provided what they asked for. God knew what was going to happen. And if you know this passage, you also know what is going to happen. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, I love that because this is the individual saying, I recognize by your power what you did. And I'm not just going to relish that in my own privacy. I'm going to go to you and I'm going to acknowledge you and I'm going to give you praise for you because you deserve that praise. And that's what he did. He or she, it doesn't say if they were men or women because this was a man or a woman. It's just saying that, you know, because there were men and women that had leprosy. We know that. And so when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. What was the difference here from before? Well, he said, well, obviously he's healed. What else was different in that passage from before? They stood way far away when they saw Jesus. They distanced themselves from Jesus. But this particular leper didn't distance himself. He fell at the feet of Jesus, face forward, and praised him. That wasn't hidden. That wasn't a secret. And he cried with a loud voice, giving praise to God. That's what God wants you and I to do. He, not so much in the technicality of falling down before him, although that's okay. You know, in our prayer time, we're falling down before him in prayer and that humility of heart because we feel the presence of God and we feel unworthy to be in his presence. I mean, that is a reality in our prayer life as we seek the Lord sometimes. God does impact us powerfully at times. But we are to be like the Samaritan here that was not ashamed out in public to declare his thankfulness to God. Because let's face it, today people might frown on us for having faith in God. People do frown on us for having faith in God. But they would frown even more if we're giving credit to God specifically for specific things. But the result of it is that God is brought to the mindset of people, brought out in front of them, and God is being acknowledged and lifted up for who he is, and other people are witnessing that. And it's impacting them. If anything, it might be planting the seed of faith in Jesus, or it might be watering that seed, or it might even be that point where they say, you know what? I believe now too. And so it's important that you and I as children of light are bearing the light of Christ in the world that we live in, obviously by our walk with Jesus, but also by our verbal and physical actions in public. How many of you, don't answer this. I mean, not to me, okay? But how many of you still pray at restaurants in public? Do you notice it getting less than what it used to be? And I don't know about you, but I know that when we pray and we're holding hands around the table and we pray and we give thanks to God, there's almost this sense of an uneasiness of this focal point, you know, like, oh, you're praying in public. You're praying around the table. But what are we doing when we do that? We're not just giving thanks for the food. We're publicly taking action to acknowledge God. That's a simple thing to do, but it takes courage to be willing to do it. And yet God is glorified by it. That's what the Samaritan did here. When we give thanks to God, it glorifies God. When it glorifies God, it magnifies him. And it helps him to be in the forefront of the vision of people's hearts in the world that they live within. And so he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan, half Jew, half something else. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? I get a kick out of that statement. You know, I don't think of Jesus being sarcastic, but he's being sarcastic. Hey, weren't there 10 of you? Am I missing something here? I think that's kind of funny in his sarcasm, but not funny in the reality of the situation. And yet we come to today's standards, and it's not new to us today. It's throughout history. We like to point the finger at those that are non-believers not giving thanks, but how many of us as believers don't take time to give thanks? And it's exhibited in different ways. I'm thankful I'm saved. That's okay. I'm thankful for my family. That's okay. I'm thankful, fill in the blank. That's okay. Be thankful in all things. In all things. That's what God's called us to do. Why? Because God loves us. And if God loves us, then we know that he's working that good in our life in ways that we may not understand, and frankly, in ways that we don't agree with. And that we don't want and that we don't like. But because he loves us and he's our Father, he's always working good in our lives. And we can praise him for that, even in the blindness of not knowing what he's doing when it doesn't make sense. And so he says, were there not 10 plans? But where are the 9? Where are the others? And then he goes on, he says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except the foreigner? You and I are children of light, as believers, as followers of Christ. We have a great opportunity to give glory to God. There are things that we can be thankful for, always, always. Years ago, and I say years ago, I was 17 years ago, right? And I was working at a grocery store in Homestead, Florida, and I was totally bummed out. And God had put this Christian woman cashier in my life. She was a mature woman, older than 17, and she knew I was bummed out. And so she said, hey, on your break, can you meet me? And we went out, so she took her break at the same time. We went outside the store, and we sat in the bench at the strip mall there and sat on the bench, and she talked to me a little bit, and she said, I want you to give thanks. I've heard what you said, but I want you to start saying, I didn't want to, because I didn't like what I was going through. She goes, I want you to give thanks. Just name one thing. Okay, now name 5, now name 10. By the time we were done with the conversation, she said, are you feeling any better? Yeah. Why? Because we were acknowledging God and giving thanks to him, and God was blessing in turn our heart of faith. And so glorified him and blessed us. So thankfulness is not simply an act of politeness. It's an act of spiritual practicality in our lives. To constantly be thankful to God on a regular basis is to constantly and regularly give him credit that's due to him, that blesses and glorifies him. In return, he blesses us. And then he goes on in verse 19 and he says, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, there's a difference between believing that he could heal me. Someone that's not a Christian say, God, if you would just heal me and make me whole again, I will give my life to you. And then they forget their covenant that they promised God, possibly, right? Some follow through, maybe many others don't. But there's also the fact that by our faith, we receive Christ into our life. We put our belief in him. And that's what happened here. The Samaritan not only was healed physically, he was healed spiritually. For once you were dead, now you're made alive. You were spiritually dead, now you're made alive. You didn't understand spiritual things, now you can. I didn't live in you, but now I do, like he does with us today, as he sent the Holy Spirit after he died and rose. And so being thankful is very practical, is extremely practical. The Samaritan gave praise and thanks to Jesus for physically healing him. But because, again, of his faith in Jesus, he was cleansed from his sins and saved. Hey, you know what? If you're saved by faith in Christ Jesus, that's the only way you can be saved. No one comes to the Father except through me, right? If we're confident and we know that we're saved because the Spirit of God is in our heart confirming that we belong to him and that he lives in us and we're in him, then we have the assurance that we know where we're going when we die. Amen. And we can praise God for that security. Absolutely. And know that where we're going is a great place, far better than where we are now. Apostle Paul said that, I'd rather be there than here. I kind of think about the world that we live in, diversing a little bit, but you know, we live in a world that I kind of feel like a bunch of Christian ants that are climbing through the dunghill. But it's not going to be like that in heaven. Amen. And we're going to be glorifying and praising God that much the more. The question is this: how many people that have been saved make it a point to give Jesus thanks through their words and actions? This is the thing about the holidays that bugs me. Oh, Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? On the spot, sometimes you're not ready to answer that. So you grab the straws and you say what you're thankful for. If you take a little bit more time to think about it, you might say, oh, more specifically, I'm thankful for this. But I'm thankful even more so for the fact that I know, I see Jesus interacting and working in my life. But I thank him a little bit more because in that, I realize that the relationship that I have with him is the most precious relationship that I have on earth. How much praise can we give that God manifested himself in the flesh to pave the way that we might know him and have him living in us? God himself, creator of everything there is, saved us but also lives in us. We know that one-on-one Christianity. But the reality of it is beyond our comprehension. And it reflects his love. We can give God thanks and praise for our salvation eternally through faith in Christ Jesus by doing some things. One, verbally and publicly thanking him. Don't, and I might say you are, y'all might have answered the question and said, yeah, we still pray when we go to McDonald's or in a restaurant or whatever, and we pray before our meal. But that's an opportunity to bear light of Christ in public and give him the honor that's due. It's an opportunity just in that in itself. So verbally and publicly thanking, by verbally and publicly thanking him. Another thing that we can do to bring glory to God in a thankful way is taking deliberate steps of action to serve him, to give to his work financially, or to sacrifice time and things for him and live for him. I mean, if we're willing to sacrifice for the sake of being involved in the things that God would have us to be involved in and giving our abilities to serve him, that's an act of saying thank you. I'm not going to be a preacher or serve in other different capacities if I don't know Jesus. Now, I know what you're thinking. You know, we've seen movies and stuff like that where there are probably pastors when the rapture happens. You know, we've seen, you know, how many pastors will remain on earth and not be raptured because they're not really saved. Or, and that's a sad thing, isn't it? Or how many people have you known that declared that they're Christians only years later to find out they weren't and they received Christ? You know, because that reality hits them. But I'm only going to serve God and commit my life to God. And serving and committing my life to God means sacrifice to God. We're to give a holy sacrifice to God, Romans 12. And so if we take deliberate steps of action, okay, I'm thankful for my salvation, I'm thankful for my relationship, and I'm thankful for a host of other things, but I'm going to take deliberate steps of action to reflect that thankfulness by committing to serving him. Getting involved, connecting, being God's people, doing the work of God's kingdom work is an act of love and thankfulness to him. That's thanks living. That's thanks living, which is a better thing than thanksgiving. It's easy to say thank you at Thanksgiving. It's another thing to give thanks living all year round, all the time. But really what we're doing is we're laying our body on the altar as a living sacrifice to God. We don't do that if we're not thankful. I mean, Charles Stanley years ago, he was depicting the story of Abraham and Isaac and him laying his son on the altar. How horrible that was for him, I guess. He knew God, trusted God and his promise to him. But Charles Stanley laid himself over the pulpit to do an illustration. We are to be that living sacrifice, and we are to, by our own free will, out of our love and thankfulness to God, we lay ourselves down on his altar for whatever he wants to do with us. That's an act of thankfulness. It's an act of love, but it's also an act of obedience because God has called us to do that. In Psalm 50, verse 23, it says, "Whoever offers praise glorifies me." Just stop right there. Don't read the rest. Whenever we praise God, it glorifies God. What is glorifying? Glorifying is the Greek word doxa, which means to worship and to honor. Or to honor and to worship. That's what glory means in the Greek. So if we're taking time to give thanks to God, we're glorifying him because we're honoring him and we're praising him publicly. Or privately in the heart, whatever the case might be. And so whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders, that means to prioritize, to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Whoever makes a deliberate decision to be that living sacrifice to God, it says, and to him who orders his conduct aright, that's saying I'm going to do exactly what God wants. I'm going to seek out ways to glorify him. I'm going to take deliberate steps of action that bring honor and glory to God. When we do that, he says, I will show the salvation of God. That doesn't mean our eternal salvation. And that word right there is talking about we will see God's protective hand. We will see God's provisions for us. We will see God's deliverance for us. We will see God's intervention on our lives. We will see him working out each challenge, each dilemma by his grace and power in our lives. Hence, salvation. We will see the working, saving hand of God intervening and working in and through our lives. And so, again, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Let me be a little bit more specific. When we start fine-tuning our eyes on seeing God doing his work and working out every situation. Let's go back to the Twinkie. I don't have money for a Twinkie. I'm flat broke, but I want a Twinkie. I don't have money for a McDonald's ice cream cone, but I sure would like one, Lord. Can you imagine going to God in prayer and just very humbly saying, God, I know it sounds stupid. I would really like an ice cream cone, but I can't. I don't have the money. But somehow you find a quarter somewhere. You find a quarter somewhere. And God provides, at least 40 years ago. Okay? You know what I'm saying. And so, when we're praising God, we're paying attention to God, we're acknowledging God, we're bringing him honor and praise. It directs the public honoring of him and glorifying him and giving him thanks, draws the attention of others around to him. And God does his work through that, and the blessing in turn is how he interacts in our lives in so many different ways, small and great. Small and great. And so, like the leper who praised Jesus and sought to glorify Christ by his actions publicly. So we too, when we praise Jesus publicly with thankful hearts, will actively draw attention to Jesus through that action. I'm not just talking about at restaurants. I'm talking about in conversation. I'm talking in your interaction with people. To have, it's a spiritual warfare. to say, I'm going to make the deliberate decision to give God credit here in this conversation. As simple as that sounds, sometimes it's very difficult to do. But God will stir our hearts as we're looking to Him. He's talking to us, saying, I want you to take this opportunity to speak about me. Give me the glory on this. And so He can draw people's attention to Him. And in turn, and we don't do this for the in turn. We don't do this for what we can get in turn. But we do it because we love the Lord and are thankful for what He's done for us. So prayerfully, through our verbal declaration of thanks to God and bringing Him glory, someone else might acknowledge who God is and receive Him as their Savior. When we intentionally act or behave in a manner that's pleasing to God, He will provide us with things that satisfy our soul. Let me say this again. When we intentionally act, like I've described, or behave in a manner pleasing to God, He will provide us with things that satisfy our soul. Here's some examples, and then we'll wrap this up. Okay, here, satisfy our soul through thanks living. He will provide us with liberty and freedom that we can only discover in Him. Freedom is opportunity. Liberty is the opportunity to make the choice to do what we want. Freedom is the opportunity, no restrictions. Liberty is the choice to do what we want. And so as we give Him thanks, He'll provide us with the liberty and freedom that we can only discover in Him. Sin has no more power over me. Right? I realize the very power of God and His work in my life. I realize that I can rely on God when others can't. I realize all these types of things. And so He will provide us liberty and freedom that we can only discover in Him. Do you understand what that means? I mean, if you were to think about it, the freedoms that we have in Christ, the world cannot comprehend. He will deliver us from situations in ways that reveal His loving care for us. I can say again the Twinkie illustration. Or I can say, you know, there's a situation in your life or my life that is beyond our control, but He will work in such a way that will comfort, direct, and provide what we need to endure the challenge that's laid before us. And so we have that blessing. He will deliver us from situations in ways that reveal His loving care for us. He will prosper us in ways the world cannot understand. A relationship with Christ, the power of Christ in and through our lives. The learning of godly perspective in life rather than worldly perspective. The priorities that really count as opposed to those things that don't. We can fill that in any way that we want to. And finally, He will rescue us from circumstances only He could save us from. Circumstances that are beyond us, only He can save us from. These are things that we experience in our relationship with God. We experience that liberty and freedom that we can only discover in Him. We experience God delivering us from situations that reveal His loving care for us. We experience Him prospering us in a way that the world doesn't understand prosperity. We experience Him rescuing us from circumstances and saving us from them. The best way we can give thanks to God this Thanksgiving season in the day of the year and any day of the year is by thanks living for Him. Amen. It's not the word in November on Thanksgiving, right? It's the life of thanks living that is the best way that we can thank God. Live our life fully and completely for God. That is the greatest way that we can bring Him honor and glory with a thankful heart. Let's go to the Lord. Father, every day is a battle. Every day is a challenge. Every day we wake up as children of light in a world of darkness. And yet, according to Acts 1:8, You have empowered us and enabled us to be Your people. You have given us what we need to shine bright And in shining bright for you, Father, we are giving you acknowledgement. We are giving you praise. We are addressing you with a thankful heart that brings you glory, that directs the hearts and minds of people that are watching us, that are around us in our lives or in public or wherever, that directs their thoughts back to the fact that there is a Creator, God Almighty, that loves us. When we shine in a way that is overflowing with a thankful heart before the Lord, even in the midst of circumstances that are painful or hard and difficult to understand, or even things that we don't agree with, Father, that when we can be touched by you, by your Spirit, down in the depth of our spirit, in the time of that type of trouble, and find peace and assurance of your love and your involvement and your working that good in and through our lives, this is something that the world cannot understand, but we can as we follow you with a thankful heart. And so, Father, I pray that you stir on our hearts the importance of being thankful and making it known, living it out, that it glorifies you, and that our hearts, Father, will be blessed. For we ask it in Jesus' name.